Hello, my name is Abuzzard Race. No, I'm not going to say it that way.
My name is Phil Circus.
And we're nasally of Galen. My name is Abuzzard Race.
And no, really, my name is Phil Circus.
I like that. You said that the way my niece would say it. And this is, who's 4 years old? Okay, Land.
It does get worse.
You did it with like the hands and stuff.
I did
like,
it with the hands.
You're like, okay, and I am. Yeah.
This is going to be episode 4.
Yeah.
Biographical information.
I am a producer and I'm a writer and I'm a performer. I produce shows, podcasts, love writing, love performing. I met my co-host, Abbas. What was it? It was like 2013, 2014.
Yeah, just about, yeah.
Because we were both doing this rarefied art form called solo performance. Yeah, and which is the nice name, because here's the other name for what we do. One-person shows.
One-person shows, yeah.
Sounds bad. It's a lot better than that.
Right.
Because this guy...
Or it can be.
It can be.
Yeah.
This guy I'm sitting across from right now, he does some really fine work.
Thank you.
You're a natural comedian.
So
when you're not causing controversy.
Online, right?
Online.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Phil, for that. Yeah, solo performance is where we've met.
Yeah.
And as you said, like we're both solo performance artists, comedians. You're also a producer.
Yeah, I produce some podcasts.
You produce Dear Prudence. You produce Feminist Frequency.
Very true.
Yeah, another amazing podcast. For our listeners, if you have not heard either one of these podcasts, definitely check them out. They are beautifully doing work, beautifully.
Yeah, I feel totally lucky.
Yeah.
And I always give it up to W. Kamau Bell.
Shout out to Kamau.
The multiple Emmy-winning.
Emmy-winning. He's our talking in cartoon.
He pulled me into podcasting and produced a couple of his shows. Come out right now, Politically Reactive. And so...
Biographical information.
You are a writer and a comedian.
Writer and comedian. So I've done some solo performance shows that you can find on YouTube under Abbasadries.
The following is by no means an exaggeration. I once wrote the greatest love letter of all times.
But I also, I don't know, I've done some writing that I really enjoy. And it's independent writing.
That's a good place to start.
That's a place to start. So it's independent writing, meaning I'm not sponsored or, you know, I'm not working for any web series or anything right now. But right now is a key word, kid, because it's really meaningful stuff that I've written.
He's giving a little preview of his style
preview.
Right now.
Yeah, there you go. See the pauses?
Little E.E. Cummings.
The alliteration. Yeah, there you go. E.E. Cummings.
Yeah. I don't know where any punctuation or capitalization is. Anyway.
All that stuff is oppressive, so I don't mess with it. So really, this podcast is essentially a creative social workshop.
Oh.
Amongst other things. Okay. That's what I feel like.
A creative social workshop.
For us, yeah. Yeah, it's a way to like really examine the funny in our everyday life.
It's a social experiment?
I mean, I don't know if I would... Yeah, I guess. Not necessarily an experiment, but a social exercise.
Mm. I like workshop more than exercise.
Yeah. I mean, it is a workshop. That's what I mean. Like, it's a space and place for us to like work out our creative material.
All right, but I just want to let everyone know listening in that... Everything is thoroughly intentional and has been worked out years in advance.
There you go. Yeah. We're very self-reflective and we've dealt with all of our historical personal issues. And we're bringing that awareness to this podcast. No, we're broken and fallible and constantly learning.
And that's why we're here.
That's why we're here.
I want to make note of an appearance by Azam who's just walked by.
He's going to kill us.
So we're just keeping it very calm right here because Abbas talked about Azam in the last podcast.
I did.
Go back and listen.
And so, I didn't say anything bad, though. It was all good.
But
positive things.
Our life is in danger right now.
It is. He's coming. He's eating his chips, his hot chips, his hot taquitos. Is that what they're called? What? Takis, I'm sorry.
Takis.
Shout out to Takis. If, you guys want, if Taki wants to sponsor our podcast, we'll definitely accept monies.
So
Azam will accept chips, but I would like cash money.
Cash money for us saying Takis.
Yeah. Three times. We said Taki three times. That's easily worth 30 grand. So just work with us.
So I want to note something as the person who is currently editing OK Land.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to edit out a beard scratch you did about 90 seconds ago.
Did I?
Yeah. But actually, I'm a little jealous because I had a mishap. I trimmed my beard too close this morning.
Yeah.
But, I found it takes out a lot of gray if you keep
it
real close.
It's short enough that it looks like you're growing a beard.
I know.
As opposed to...
I know. Now I've got 5 o'clock stubble. But I want to say, I was going to shave it off. And one time you told me, you were like, don't do it. Your strength is in your beard.
There you go. And it is. I mean, it's a good look, I think. Like, the beard is a good, refined look for you. For both of us.
For both of us.
You know what I mean? It took me 20 years to grow a beard, basically.
Could you not grow a beard when you were in your 20s?
I couldn't. Mm-mm.
What happened?
I had, this handlebar mustache for a long time. That's as much as I could grow.
But I don't understand. But could you grow a beard like you have now in your 20s?
No, I couldn't.
What would happen?
I would try, and I'm telling you, I would get as far as a handlebar mustache.
Okay,
listen. I had this creepy truck driver thing happening. I looked like a Fijian truck driver. It didn't work. I couldn't grow a full beard until I was 29.
Listeners, get at us with this, because I didn't know if this is a thing. Do all of a sudden, at the age of 29, you're able to grow a beard?
Oh, Philly, check this out. That is very much it's hereditary, you know, and then there's generalizations that can be made ethnically, culturally, right? Some folks, culturally, depending on where they come from, maybe more easily grow a beard. For me, it took, and even now, I trimmed this beard, it's going to take forever to get back to proper baby curl beard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to take me a while, kid.
I get it. I get it. I actually grew my fullest beard in 2015. I had a girlfriend at the time, and she's like, let me trim it for you.
Phil, you're always making it about your girlfriends. That's funny. Your girlfriend made you grow a beard?
No. She trimmed it. She asked if she could trim my beard.
How intimate. Okay. This is like the equivalent of Demi Moore in Ghost. When she's making the clay pot, you know, she's doing the pottery, and then Patrick Swayze, his ghost, basically comes up and spoons her. That's it. There's a romantic oddity to what you're telling me.
Well, we're not together, so it's no longer romantic.
Whew.
Actually,
did you get tears into your clippers? Did you cry tears into your clippers?
I'm overdue for a good cry, but no. Here's what happened this morning.
Okay.
I put my beard trimmer just on one click too low because I thought oh man, I got 23 hairs in my gray hairs in my mustache alone. What can I do about it?
Right.
And I just next thing you know, oh damn, it's too low. I got to make everything else that low.
Oh man.
Well, you've been there.
No, I literally was there yesterday myself where I was going to the city
because
I was meeting a friend and I just let me just, you know, crop my face a bit.
Yeah.
And I just did too much. How long will it take to grow that back?
I can grow a really full beard in a few months, but it'll get back to where it was in probably
not like an
a few
Abe Lincoln,
weeks.
You know what I mean? But it's gonna definitely take me to get it where I would want it, right?
Yeah.
For those who've seen even the OK Land, our official picture, our present picture.
Yeah.
Where I'm wearing the beanie. That's gonna take a month, kid.
Well, I think it's okay right now, but I think we were talking about our beards too long.
We are.
I know you've had an eventful few days.
Yeah, I went this last weekend. I went to the Amplify Storytelling for People of Color conference in Berkeley, and it was amazing. It was really,
they had
really
some
amazing.
Good keynotes there, right?
They did. They had Glenn Washington,
oh,
who
nice.
Came on Sunday.
Snap Washington.
Yeah, from Snap Judgment. Snap Washington. No, Glenn Washington from Snap Judgment.
I can't believe I said Snap Washington.
Yeah.
Which I think has got to be a great name for 7 & a half.
Yeah. Do you have any cash, by the way? On that note, do you have any cash?
Cash?
Cash.
Money,
but in cash form. Because Azam needs some cash so he can go wash his, he wants to do some laundry.
Okay.
So I went to this event, right? I went to this conference and they had these different artists, people who are working creatively in doing digital storytelling, podcast folks. They came out and they would give these like informational presentations, mm-hmm. And told us a little bit about themselves. It was really amazing. It felt like a really authentic, workshoppy, inspiring opportunity. And it was at the School of Journalism at UC Berkeley. The big highlight for me.
Really?
What?
That's where I record Dear Prudence every week.
Really?
Yeah. In the radio lab there.
Yeah, yeah. We weren't in the radio lab, but we were in like these conference room spaces.
Okay.
But it was really, really cool.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Fun fact. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool. But I think the big highlight for me was a fellow podcaster, Martina Abrams, Lunga. I think it's the last name. I'm reading it here. If I got this incorrect, my bad. Mm-hmm. But she has a podcast that's called You Had Me at Black. Mm-hmm. You can find her on Twitter at Martina.a. So that's at MARTINADOT, letter A. And she's the host. Mm-hmm. They've had, you know, storytellers, they've had comedians on, and it's essentially a platform for people to share their story. And it's not just black centered, but she's making art for black people, which I think is amazing and necessary and inspiring. Something that really inspires me. And as we mentioned earlier, one of the keynote speakers was Glenn Washington.
Yeah, Snap Judgment.
Glenn Washington is host and executive producer of Snap Judgment.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a radio show. It's an NPR show.
Okay,
and it is also available on podcast. And some of our colleagues
have been on it. Yeah,
Josh Healy. He's a regular. Zara Nurbash.
Okay.
Here's a sad story. I was talking with one of their producers who was interested in doing one of my pieces, and it fell off because I wasn't really interested in, I don't know, because I got busy with life, I got busy with life.
You weren't really in a place to do it?
I wasn't in a place to do it.
Okay.
You know, it's a very emotional piece I was doing. You've seen it.
Yeah.
And also, you know, life happens. Sometimes you don't have the time to put these opportunities. It's not saying that I couldn't call that producer again and pick it up again, because it was a good story, but I just got involved in other stuff.
Yeah.
Womp, womp. Put a sad trombone in there.
Womp, womp, womp.
That's some real, but Snap Judgment is a...
No, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing avenue, creative space. And it's great. For those of you who haven't heard it, listen to Snap Judgment. Tune in. It's really amazing.
I got to say something.
Yeah.
If you're here listening to OK Land, and you've heard of OK Land, but not Snap Judgment, something's wrong.
I didn't love the way that landed. I'll be honest.
All right.
I'm just like, you're not wrong, but I was like, oh, well, we're pretty cool.
We're awesome.
Yeah.
Just of note that we're in Abbas's space this week instead of...
at your place.
Yeah.
Which is where we do a lot of our recording.
So sometimes we're in the West Oakland.
Yeah.
And now here we are like early East. Yeah. So yeah, it's a different feel.
Yeah.
On the east side of the lake. More geese than there are in West Oakland.
Sure. Is it sunnier, maybe?
It's warm. It's a few degrees warmer.
It feels a little warmer, right?
And
yeah.
But here's the thing about living in the West.
Yeah.
I'm in Emeryville like every day.
Okay.
I'm so over Emeryville.
Is that where you go?
I love Emeryville. But
okay.
I walk my dog in Emeryville every day.
Yeah.
This is about me. I hate Guitar Center, but if I'm near a Guitar Center, I got to walk in.
Okay, why?
This is because I'm a musician too, and I just like the way all the instruments look. And even though I walk into Guitar Center and there's like all these like crazy salespeople there, can I help you, guy? Can I help you, guy? And I still got to look. I don't know. It's like something I can't stop looking at, even though I'm like done buying musical instruments.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. The only reason I go to, personally, that I go to Emeryville is like, back in the day, we'd go there to go to the movies. We still do that, actually.
Yeah.
And then California Pizza Kitchen. I remember like going there a lot, because I was like, oh, this is delicious food. But then I had like real delicious food.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is kind of like a glorified Denny's.
Oh, actually. Yeah. No, we all have that experience, that realization.
But yeah, so now it's like Emeryville is basically, I go to Ross at Emeryville too, because I like my affordable clothing. That's a fun fact.
Okay. Yeah. Why are you looking at Azam when you say that?
He's just getting rated. He's taking care of himself.
I thought you needed approval to say you shop at Ross from him.
No. I think these pants came from Ross, and this top definitely did as well. So
yeah.
I'm killing it. Consumerism. Shout out to consumerism.
Shout out to capitalism.
Shout out to capitalism.
Hats off to capitalism.
Yeah. Hats off. Hats off. Hashtag hats off to capitalism.
Hey, boss.
Hey, Phil.
You know what I miss?
What do you miss?
You remember when we used to do skits way back in episode 2?
I do remember. I miss that too, actually.
Let's do one, shall we?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's been a while, right? We need to give the folks a skit.
The park's so close. Maybe after this note, this won't happen again.
Hey, hey, what are you doing? What is that?
I'm writing a note.
Why?
Take a look at this. There is no space. There is no space between these cars. I can't get out. So, I mean, I just got to write. I mean.
Okay. Okay. Well, I mean, like, there's, I see like 15 cars on this block. Like, you could have come to the door, had a conversation. Like, leaving a note just kind of feels like a little bit passive aggressive.
There was no one here to have a conversation with when I wrote this note.
Okay. Well, I'm here now. Do you want to talk about it?
Okay. Yeah, I do. Can you see between these cars? There's barely any light getting through. How am I supposed to get out of this space? Is this how you normally park?
You're right. You're right. You're right. There is not enough room for you to get out. Your car is stuck. Yeah. No. I think that people need to spend more time acknowledging when things are wrong rather than pointing fingers.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let me see. Since we're on the topic, can I take a look and see what it is that you've written?
You know what? It's not a big deal. Now that you're here...
Yeah, let me just see.
Wait, no.
Oh, hold on one sec. Dear fuckface. Okay. It seems like parking cars is probably the way that you try to pleasure your wife. You get her really close, but then you don't seal the deal.
I'm a writer.
Yeah, it shows. I hope that you find yourself in the deepest part of hell. And I hope everything you love, everyone you love, dies from mouth cancer.
I was, you know, just trying to get your attention so it wouldn't happen again.
Wow.
Now that we're having a conversation about it, maybe I came off a little too strong in this note. I mean...
Do you think?
You weren't here. I was up against the wall.
I understand. I understand that part of it. But I will say, this letter is really fucked up. This letter, like, you might have a problem, my friend. I'm just saying.
Haven't you ever left a hot-headed letter?
Not like this one. But that's okay. You know what I mean? I can forgive this situation. I think we can move on from this, okay?
I understand. It's a strong letter. I was really just trying to get your attention.
Well, you definitely have it now, okay?
And you seem like a nice person. And you know what? You probably didn't know how close you were to me because I can't get out of this space.
And for the record, my wife and I are very happy.
I was just trying to get your attention because I felt trapped.
Well, okay. I don't know what to say to that, but anyway, listen, you have a good day.
Well, yeah, so...
I'll see you later.
If you could just, you know, take your car out, then I could get out.
Oh, listen, that's not my car.
Yeah, we call it.
Okay.
So this was...
Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for tuning in to OK Land.
Yeah, this was it's okay.
This is how it is when I record in the East. East side.
We're blaming, yeah. No, it's
blaming. There's no blame here. I'm just saying, like, it's a different flavor. You know, sometimes we're refreshing tea and sometimes we're Dr. Pepper.
Sometimes we're mojito.
Sometimes we're, like,
yellow.
Virgin mojito.
Yeah. Sometimes we're gray matter.
Sometimes.
We change. But listen in, continue listening and subscribe, and also comment. Like, we'd love to get some reviews, some opinions, opiniatos.
Please write a review. You don't know how much that helps us.
Right. Because we want to know, like, what do you think about the work that we're doing? Honestly.
Even if you're like, this is okay, but this is, let us know that.
Tell us, yeah.
We can take it.
Yeah,
because we know how to cry.
Well, and also, like, we've been criticized as individuals in real life,
all our lives.
Yeah, we honestly, like, we're doing this thing, and we'd love to know what your thoughts are. what is and isn't working for you as a listener.